Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
This is Mike Edison, host of Art Senses a Seizure, as you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, please visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Episode 138 of The Morning After. I'm Jesse Kiefer.
I am Sarah Kamen.
Sarah Kamen in studio. We have today Leo Schneeman. He's the wine director of the KGNY restaurant group, which includes the legendary Valse, Cafe Sabarsky, Blauwegans, and the new and improved upholstery store, Food and Wine, of which he is a co-owner.
Yummy.
Later in the show, we will test Leo's multiple choice talents with the Morning After quiz. Always a fun time
Indeed.
For us. Not so sure about the guest. But first, Siri, a little food news?
Yeah, a little bit right now.
Some things happening around in the world today?
Yeah, just a couple things percolating right now.
And Leo, feel free to interject any thoughts or opinions about the food news.
Our intense food news often inspires a lot of feelings. Strong feelings.
And remember, facial expressions don't really translate on radio, so
not so much.
Verbalize your disgust.
First off, in Park Slope, close to home, right mm-hmm. here in Brooklyn, New York, a new cafe has arrived. Their name is Nateria.
It's not animals, right?
It's not, actually. Okay. It's a cafe that's based on Nutella, which is everyone's favorite chocolate hazelnut spread.
My favorite one, too.
Oh, very good. I mean, especially you're European.
Can you guys name another chocolate hazelnut spread?
Moving on. They were going to be called Nutelleria, but they changed their name because they are not, in fact, affiliated with Nutella in any way. They are just people who love Nutella and decided to open a cafe. So they changed the name. They called it Nateria. All of their food has Nutella in it. And in fact, the entire decor are a bunch of jars of Nutella. Sadly.
Sounds very healthy.
Yeah. And specific. Sadly, Ferrero, which is the company that makes Nutella, is suing them because, in fact, they have no affiliation at all with Nutella. And they've designed an entire cafe about Nutella. So they're being sued, I think, for trademark infringement. Ferrero is seeking monetary damages and another name change. Now, I don't know. I feel kind of conflicted about this one.
I mean,
it's not just their product.
Just decor base shouldn't, that shouldn't, they shouldn't get sued because they've got like a bunch of Nutella in the space,
no,
right?
No, I think it's because every single food item is based on Nutella and they're not actually... It's like going to the store and buying a bunch of Nutella and then selling it.
So yeah, but shouldn't they be happy about it? That somebody's
putting out
the name for them?
I can see that. I don't know. I feel really conflicted about this one.
I mean, I am going to say they're not being that creative.
No.
I mean, if anything, maybe call it like Hazel Nutella or...
Good one.
Hazelnut chocolate
shop.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that they could have, you know, they could have really brainstormed.
I think
that brainstorming session was like, they had two names and they're like, well, this one sounds even too much like Nutella, so we're going to go with the other one.
I'm guessing these people are always high, so not surprising there.
I'm going to say, I don't think that's going to go over well in Park Slope anyway, so they might as well get sued.
They might as well. Okay, moving on. Okay, in Oklahoma this past week, a certain female suspect, a woman, held up a Subway, everyone's favorite sandwich artist shop.
We've had one about a guy holding up a Subway recently, right? That was like months ago. I don't remember anymore.
This was a lady robber. She held up the Subway in Oklahoma at gunpoint. And she demanded all the cash, but before she left, she tipped the worker $1, which is really nice.
From their own money?
I think, yeah. Well, no, from her pocket. And she said, this is for you, to the worker. Like,
you
were such an accommodating host while I robbed your Subway. But then the really crazy thing is she came back 3 days later and robbed them again and didn't tip.
Oh, what a bitch.
I know. It's just... Like, if you're going to, the moral of the story is if you're going to rob a Subway, you should tip. And then if you did it, you should do it again.
I mean, you know, when this happens to me at coffee shops, not that I rob them, but, you know, when you go in and you're like, okay, what do I tip for? Do I tip for a drip coffee? Do I tip for a latte? And she was probably like, okay, I'm going to tip this one time and they're going to remember that I tipped that time. So then I won't have to do it again.
Yeah.
Do you ever have that feeling, Sari, or do you just tip always?
No, sometimes I don't have any cash and then I feel really bad because it's like last time I was in there, I tipped. Like, I don't want to get a reputation as a non-tipper. And then I just feel bad being like, oh, I don't have any cash this time.
It's kind of a political move there. What do you think, Leo? Do you tip at the coffee shop or at the Subway that you rob?
Yeah. Well, usually Subways I rob.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so sort of like the worst thing about this story is that the worker didn't get to keep her $1 tip because it was confiscated as evidence.
Wah, wah. Okay, I hope she went out and got a new job, that worker, not the robber.
Yeah, I agree. I hope the robber did get a new job.
Actually get a job. Yeah, good point. Sorry.
Thank you. Okay, so finally, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but Jack White of the White Stripes has been involved in something they're calling, I believe it's Guacamole Gate is the official title.
What's that?
Well, I will tell you, Leo. Thank you for asking. Speaking of Oklahoma, he was invited to play at Oklahoma University, and his rider was published online, I think, or like in the Oklahoma University newspaper. And apparently he specified, his rider includes, he needs a very specific recipe for fresh homemade guacamole. And his rider includes the recipe, which apparently is a very chunky version of guacamole. He also demands 4 bottles of fresh juice smoothies, 1 pound of freshly sliced high-quality prosciutto, and aged salami with a fresh knife. So Oklahoma University has a policy where if someone demands to see, I guess, a writer in this case, or they want to understand like where all their money is going to, that it has to be published. So this is why it ended up being published, because the students have a right to know, like, if part of their tuition is going to pay for
a douche.
Yeah. Musicians, specific requests. And then everyone has been making fun of Jack White because he demands guacamole in his writer.
I mean, come on, you are a rock star.
Yeah.
And then you become like a
Yeah, I know, and it's
complaining
like
a diva
college.
Kind of
it's so silly. And his agency is really upset, and they think that, you know, the university has been really inhospitable. But it's like, if you're going to have a writer with such douchey things, you kind of got to own it. Like, don't be pissed when it's published, because that's on you, bro.
And they gave it to him?
It's in his writer.
Like, so he won't do it unless, like,
exactly.
Some poor person has to make his chunky guacamole.
Uh-huh.
Like, what do you think the guacamole situation or the avocado situation in general in Oklahoma is?
Not fresh.
Not fresh. Like, I'm sure they were like, oh, we can't just go to the Trader Joe's and get some already guacamole stuff.
I don't know. I mean, I saw the recipe. It's very detailed.
We should try that on the morning after one of these days.
I mean, like guacamole. I always love a good chunky guac.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I mean, that would probably be in my writer, too.
I mean, I'm really not mad about it.
I think that they're...
For me, the prosciutto and aged salami seems a little bit excessive. And the 4 bottles of fresh juice smoothies.
I mean, I think there's a time and a place to demand ridiculous things like this.
I don't think guac is ridiculous.
Just demanding things in general. And it's not, like, at a college campus.
No, I just think, like, if you demand guacamole, that's fine. I think it's, like, a little annoying to demand a certain recipe. Like,
yes.
I would just be like, oh, Chipotle. Like, everybody has Chipotle.
That's where you get your guacamole?
No, if I was a rock star.
Oh, you would just have Chipotle.
Yeah, I just have Chipotle.
Oh, cool. I can't wait to see your writer. Let's write writers for the next show.
Good idea.
Okay. All right. Any more news for us?
Nope.
I mean, I think that was a solid roundup.
Thanks, man.
All right. We're going to take a break here on The Morning After. We're going to come back with Leo Schneeman, the wine director for the KGNY Restaurant Group. This is The Morning After.
You are listening to Cool Boy by Sleepies.
I'd like to say you're qualified, but what that really can't, we got always waiting.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hi, I'm Reggie Watts, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
And we're back here on The Morning After. In the studio today, Leo Schneemann. He is basically the gentleman to go to for anything German and Austrian wine related. He's the wine director of the KGNY restaurant group, which includes Valse, Cafe Zabarski, Blaugans, and the new and improved upholstery store Food and Wine, of which he's a co-owner, which just opened last week, right, Leo?
Yeah, last week we opened.
So how are you feeling?
I'm feeling very well. I'm very happy to be here with you guys.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. We're very happy you're here. I think we love to get things started off on just like a basic note. I know you're from Austria. I mean, unless that accent's Queens.
That's
or something
true.
Like that. But I don't spend a lot of time in Queens. But
little Austria.
I don't think that just because you're Austrian means you're into wine. What kind of brought you into this world?
Oh, that was... it was totally... Nobody actually thought about that. My father used to work for Volkswagen for 45 years, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And we had these open houses where we could look at schools, and I went to this hospitality school, and I went to many schools to look at, but at the hospitality school, I liked it a lot, and so my decision was to go into hospitality first. Mm-hmm. And then after graduating, I did the three-year program. After graduating, I started a job which was very wine-driven outside of Vienna, mm-hmm. and that's where the whole thing actually started, yeah.
And so when you came to New York, when did you get to New York?
I came to New York in 2008.
So when you came to New York, what was the kind of Austrian-German wine scene in restaurants?
Well, the Austrian-German wine scene in restaurants, I think, is still on the smaller side, but mm-hmm. I think a lot of restaurants picked up on it. I see more and more products out, especially German ones, which are in a very high-end level. I think the German wine market has still a better position than the Austrian wine market. But there's a lot of Austrian wine coming to the States. Very good one. I see it well.
So, varietally speaking, when we say Austrian wine, what are kind of the basic grapes?
Well, You know, as well as I do.
I do know, but that doesn't mean that everyone out there, all the billions of listeners know.
Well, I don't know.
It's the Grüner Veltliner.
Which has got to be probably the most popular.
It's for sure the most popular, yeah. And then on the red wine side, we have the Zweigelt and the Blaufränkisch, which are not as well known, but I think especially the Blaufränkisch is coming more and more, especially here in the New York area. As I can feel, or as I feel, or as I can see on the menus.
Well, now, I feel like one thing we forgot is Riesling.
Riesling, yeah. But Riesling is also, I would associate Riesling more with Germany than with Austria, which is I totally forgot the Riesling to mention also for an Austrian. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have a few wines with us. We all sipping on it here. I have
Be
also,
jealous.
I brought a Neuburger in, which is our edition at Valse. We're doing this project together since 3 years with Johann Donnerbaum, a winemaker in the Wacher Valley. And then I brought in a Riesling, a Schatzhofnerberger, a single vineyard from Volksheim, Roman Nivodnichansky's winery, which is a winery which goes back many, many years, or many of 100 years. And we will come to the story about this wine later. And then I brought... Since we always forget about the Alsatians, I brought an Alsatian Riesling too with me, a Grand Cru from the winery Albert Mann, the Schlossberg. So, yeah.
No, I mean, I think all of those need to be represented, and I'm sure they all are on all of the wine lists. And now with the new upholstery store, you are kind of branching out into other countries, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. We also... have a very international list at Waldsee. I mean, of course, our focus is still on Austria and Germany, mm-hmm. but there's stuff from France on, there's Italian stuff on. I think it is very important to have a focus, but I think it's very important too to give people what they actually want. You know, when they go out on a regular a random Wednesday night and they don't want to have a Riesling or they want to have a Chenin Blanc, then you have to have a Chenin Blanc on your list.
No, I mean, I totally understand that. You know, working at Terroir, we often make people drink things that they didn't think they wanted.
Yeah.
Originally, did you find that to be difficult and then you decided to kind of introduce more international wines, or you just felt like, let's just give the people what they want immediately?
No, but I think it shouldn't be always the same what you give, you know. And the company is standing strong and since 15 years, you know. I mean, people know us. And I think you should branch out over the years to different countries, to different varietals. I think that makes it more fun, you know. And then you always can come back to the product which you offer anyway, you know.
So Upholstery Store is like the 2.0 version. There used to be another version of this wine bar.
Yeah.
And now you guys have closed that down.
Closed it down.
It's down the block from Waldsee,
yeah.
Right?
We broke some walls through. We put an open kitchen in there. We have a beautiful wine cellar downstairs, which is accessible for everybody. We have an international list. We're playing around with sherry by the glass, and we're playing around with mead right now. I think it's a big part of this new wave, what people want to try right now. Cider, local New York State ciders are on the menu by the glass, and it has been fun. It has been a lot of fun the last week, or last 10 days.
I read on Eater that Upholstery Store Food and Wine, the new version, is today's Austria, as opposed to more of like the antiquated classical Austria that I guess I don't know.
Would you call Blauwegans that kind of what people expect?
I think Blauwegans is very cool, to be honest with you, with all
cool.
These art posters and mm-hmm. the decor. It is different and it's
what
new.
What does that mean though? I mean, from I think of Sound of Music when I think of Austria. What is the
well,
difference?
Well, then it's different, definitely.
Okay.
Modern version of
enlighten
Austria.
Me.
No, what we took is we had Eric was our architect, and he do one do box. They helped us, but the project was so much fun because we all put in our influences. If it was Kurt, if it was me, my girlfriend Christina. So I think there was something coming out of it, which is a version of a very elegant diner, you know, with white ceilings, with gray columns. You have 1950 Cadillac blue banquettes in there, white marble tables, which remember you in a coffee house in Vienna. It is a modern version, but I wouldn't say only from Austria. It's a modern version of a lot of things. Hmm. Yeah.
The addition of food and wine to the end of Upholstery Store, that seems important to me. That seems like that's there for a reason.
Seems important for us too, because the Upholstery Store before didn't have any food. So
they had cheese, right?
Like they had cheeses, yeah. But what we're offering now is these oyster dishes with uni cream and pickled celery.
What time are you open till tonight?
12:30 every day. should we go there after?
Absolutely.
So we have four different kind of oysters with cucumber and mint, with passion fruit and seaweed. Then you have the regular oysters on. But you have also these vegetable dishes, which our chef, Matthew, does very, very well with red beet, carrot, celery, raspberry vinegar. And we have dishes on with the brook trout is on with green spinach and parsley potatoes and almonds. And then another really nice one is the smelt, which is basically a freshwater sardine with different kind of peppers and rice noodles. So there's a... It's on the lighter side, the menu. It's definitely fish and shellfish driven, with the lobster roll, with the with the crab claws and everything. But it is a full open kitchen. Yeah.
I, as someone who has worked in a place that was called Wine Bar, I think we felt that that didn't limit us, but it limited what people thought of us. So people would say, oh, well, I can't go there for dinner. Did you guys think about that in
the new naming? I think if you put out a beautiful product, people will recognize that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. I believe it doesn't matter in what way it is. If it's good wine, good food, good design, elegant design, I think people will recognize it. But I know where you're coming from with the, oh, it's a wine bar. We go for a drink before, but we go for a drink after dinner. Luckily, we didn't have that. So far, people were really into dining. I think it's going very strongly for the first 10 days.
With the with KGNY, what do you feel like has been the the driving force to the success of the group? What have you what do you feel like you guys have that other groups that don't do so well have?
I think we have all four places. What Kurt and me and all these other people, what we are doing together, is we have beautiful and elegant settings, which sets us apart from other restaurants. I don't want to say that they are not, but they are very different in a unique style. And I think it was always very, very food and wine driven. It was, Walz is open now since 15 years, and it's very well known. It's a high-end restaurant. I think the combination it was. We have Walz here, the fine dining. We have Café Sabaski on the Upper East Side, which is a Viennese cafe. Blaugans came as the rustic Wirtshaus / bistro, how we call it. And now we have a place which is based on oysters and fish and shellfish. I think there's no copying into any other places. Every place has its own uniqueness, and every place fits into his own neighborhood, you know?
I agree. I mean, I think new concepts are really what drive groups forward.
Yeah.
I want to know, as far as, you know, you coming from Austria to New York, is there anything that you really wanted to do in the restaurant that you feel like the U.S. market has pushed up against?
I see it as a positive side that I came from Europe to New York, to be honest with you. I saw so much the last 7 years, which I'm grateful of. And I learned so much the last 7 years, which I'm also grateful of. I think the New York market is very competitive, and I think that's the most fun part on it, you know, because you always have to be on top of your game, and you always have to come up with something new, new ideas, or what can we do to make all of the groups which we need in a restaurant happy.
So you brought some wine for us, which Sari and I are not complaining about. Nope. And I want to know, I mean, did you choose these because they are specifically representative of what you're serving at all the joints, or at specifically upholstery?
No, they are for all the joints. Just to go in. I brought some wines which we have on the menu. The Albert Mann, for example, we have on the menu at Sabaski. The Neuburger, the Walze edition, what we're doing with Johann Donovan together. I'm always looking. I'm not a geek who is looking only for certain kind of varietals which nobody has. But I think you should showcase varieties which are not as well appreciated than others, and give them a little platform. And I'm very much in love with Neuburger, because it has a lower acidity structure, and it has its nutty. It has its nuttiness. A round body. You will get that by the glass. On our list, and also very soon at the upholstery store. And then I brought something very interesting, German Riesling, from the winery von Volksheim, which is...
no one associates German and Riesling ever.
Which is, I think, on the point. I mean, what Roman is doing, it's so beautiful, so straightforward, so clean. And then the Albert Mann is I think it's the counterpart on the von Volksheim. It has more heaviness. It's heavier. It's also on the palate heavier.
Could you people always group these together. They group Austria, Germany, and Alsace together. You know, stylistically, if we're thinking one variety, which I'm going to pick Riesling. You know, how do you differentiate between them? If someone's going to your list, obviously they'd be asking you or asking some of your staff, but if they wanted to just kind of take a look at the list and be like, where do I choose from? Do I choose a Riesling from Austria? Do I choose a Riesling from Germany? Do I choose a Riesling from Alsace?
But I think we always, and we in our business, we have to hear people out what they really like. And if they say they want to have something on the fresher side, very straightforward, my first point would always be go to Germany. If they want to have something on the heavier side with more petrol, it's typically to Alsace. And then I think the in-between Riesling, which is very nice because it's open to a broader market, would be then the Austrian.
With the sherry that you're doing on upholstery, is that specifically because you feel like that style of wine will go with food, or is it something that you just want to play around with?
No, that style of wine goes very well with food, but I think it's very forgotten. I like Oloroso sherry so much. With this certain kind of little sweet hint in the back, it goes so well with this oysters, with uni and uni cream. And that's where I say, okay, now you can make customer happy because you have the perfect combination. And we did decide to put this on the menu, and it's selling better than I actually expected.
What would you get if you were to dine at upholstery, which I imagine has probably happened?
Everything.
No, but I mean, if you're looking for something kind of casual, but you're looking for a meal, like what's your ideal way to create a meal there?
Well,
what would you get?
I would either do, I would for sure do the oysters. And then I would either do as a cold snack, I would do the lobster roll or the winter vegetable medley, which is with raspberry vinegar. And on the hot side, I would do the venison. Mm. Venison with mushrooms and pickled blueberries.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nice.
That does sound nice.
Now, you're thinking about happy things. I want to ask you about, you obviously just opened up the space. What challenges did you guys run into? Because it took about a year, correct?
Yeah, but it's New York City, you know. There's a lot of permits.
Sure. I mean, was there anything that you thought you guys were going to do and then just couldn't make happen?
No. The only thing which we couldn't make happen was the opening date, which we were planned on doing in September last year.
That's, nobody gets
But, yeah, I think that's not a big deal and not really worth talking about because everything is delayed.
It just happens. Yeah. So, but as being now a co-owner, you know, what other feelings are you feeling? I mean, I guess you're probably, as a beverage director, you're invested, but how do you feel different now as a co-owner?
It is very much different of the way how you look at the product. I mean, you look at the product very carefully already when you take a job like this, but you look at every invoice. You literally go through everything just to make sure that nothing goes out in a different direction or in a direction which you shouldn't go. It has been very exciting. It's a different thing than the usual job that you have to do.
I mean, I can't wait to go, and I'm so excited. And
yeah, please. I mean,
very much hoping
you.
You know to
I
check
hope
the
I see
spot
you soon.
Out.
You will,
and I know it's going to do well. And I can't wait to give you the morning after quiz after we take a break in a second. But give me the address of upholstery.
It's 713 Washington Street.
So upholstery store, 713 yeah, Washington Street.
Open every day from 4:30 on until 12:30 kitchen. So
is there a website?
Yeah, it's kg-ny.com. And you can even come late night for dinner.
Great. And you can find all the restaurants on that website.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Leo, thank you so much for joining us on The Morning After.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break here.
You are listening to Weird Wild World by The Sleepies.
Thank you. This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
We're back here on The Morning After. I'm Jesse Kiefer.
I am Sarah Kamen.
It is the later part of our show in which we like to not make guests feel, you know, stupid, but we give them multiple choice quiz called
stupid.
Yeah, the morning after quiz, which is stupid, but you know, still nobody's gotten it right in at least like 20 episodes. So
it's not that any of you are stupid; it's that you're all stupid.
Thank you, Sari. Yeah. So Leo, you run the beverage program at Valse, among other restaurants, but specifically at Valse in the West Village. But what do you know about Wally? Okay, so this makes more sense when you look at how Valse is spelled. It's W-A-L-L-S-E. And Wally, the animated film. Have you seen this movie?
No.
It's about a robot.
About a robot is spelled W-A-L-L-E. So it's just like missing the S, but that's where like the dash is. It's a silent S, I think. Yeah, Valse. No, okay, no.
Just go with us here.
But just go with us. So it is the animated film that follows a robot named Wally, who is designed to clean up an abandoned, waste-covered Earth very, very far, far in the future.
Wally.
Prepare for the morning after quiz.
I'm ready.
You ready? Okay, so three questions, all multiple choice. Go.
Go.
Question one. How far in the future does Wally take place? Is it A, 2015? Because remember, this was a few years ago. 2015 could be a wasteland, garbage-covered place. Anyway, letter B, year 3001. Or letter C, 2805. 2805 is the year.
Maybe repeat the options.
No. It's 2805.
It is, yes.
See?
Well done. Damn it.
I think you've got a little birdie. I looked
at her face.
All right, poker face. It's because I've been on a plane for like 15 hours.
Yeah.
So I can't handle this. All right. Question two. Are you ready? Wally falls in love with another robot named Eve, spelled E-V-E. What does her name, I mean, because how does he know it's a girl robot? How is one a boy robot? How is one a girl robot? I don't really know.
How does anyone know?
Yeah, nobody knows. So, what does her name stand for? Is it A, Eve, extraterrestrial verbal evaluator? Is it B, extraterrestrial vegetation evaluator? Or is it C, extraterrestrial veterinarian evaluator?
B.
Vegetation evaluator. Wow. Uh-oh.
What? You're just nailing that.
You've never seen this movie?
What is happening if I... Will I be the first one if I...
You get will. Yeah.
What do I get? There must be a prize.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. You get to take us to upholstery food and wine.
That's a good deal. That's a very good deal.
I like that idea. Okay.
Everybody wins.
All right. Final question for all the marbles. When Wally and Eve find themselves on the spaceship that has rescued all humans from the garbage-filled wasteland they created, what has happened to the surviving human race? So these humans have been on this, this spaceship for hundreds of years, or I guess something like that. They either A, are all beige, hairless, and look exactly the same. B, they are morbidly obese, baby-like beings who cannot walk. Or C, they are jello-like blobs who speak an inaudible gibberish.
That's hard. It's C.
C, they are jello-like blobs that speak an inaudible gibberish. Yeah. No!
And
I wanted to invite all of you to a poster.
But I'm so sorry. You're not allowed to do it.
But it's actually the same prize if you lose.
You know, no. It's actually B. They're all just morbidly obese baby-like, like fetus-like things, but that look like humans, but they just like ride around in carts. They can't walk. But I will tell you that the original concept was for them to be jello-like blobs who speak in inaudible gibberish.
So basically, I have it right.
No, but it was in the mind of the creator, and he probably would have appreciated you in that testing audience or whatever.
Perfect. The screening
room. You did a really good job.
Thank you, guys.
Leo Schneeman, wine director, the KGNY Restaurant Group, Valse Cafe Zabarski, Blowagons, and the new upholstery store, Food and Wine. Thank you so much for being on The Morning After.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. It was my pleasure.
Now, this is the moment where I ask, if you have any social media stuff. Twitter, like Instagram, like, I don't know.
Instagram, but you have a beautiful, everybody should follow me on Upholstery Store in their Instagram. I do have Twitter, but I use it. I don't use it frequently.
I'm not
a big social media guy.
Okay. But what's the upholstery one?
It's Upholstery Store Food and Wine. Okay. Instagram, yes.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Sari, till next week.
I look forward to it.
This is The Morning After on heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.